A couple of days ago, someone asked me for what felt like the 100th time, why aren't you on Facebook? And I try to change the answer every couple of months. And this time I said, because going online and sharing experiences is not shared experience. And I believe that, at least as far as male friendships go, that they are powered by nostalgia for shared experience. The summer you went to camp, freshman year, when you were thrown together as roommates, you know, maybe you played on a team together. And that got me thinking about Doug and why that friendship was such a misfire. We did go to high school together, but there was no nostalgia involved. Doug was a bully and a terror. And he was a year ahead of me. And yeah, I was a lot bigger, but I was this unformed, tenuous adolescent. And he was this concentrated ball of aggression and anger. And he would come ricocheting down the corridors of our all-boys school, slapping books out of people's hands and slamming them against walls. And, you know, you saw Doug coming and you wanted to hide. You'd duck into a bathroom. You'd duck into a class that wasn't your own. I mean, science was my worst subject. I almost ended up in AP chemistry because of Doug. And a couple of years after graduating from college, I bumped into him at a party. And he had grown up and calmed down, and we had a long conversation, and, you know, it was very enjoyable. We made each other laugh a couple of times, and then a few days later, he called, and he asked if I wanted to get together. And my first unspoken impulse was, why? But then he sort of expanded my worldview and my perception of carrying grudges and living in the past, because he said, I just got some really good weed. Now, I never get political in these stories, but I want to say right now that I wholeheartedly support legalization of marijuana and the use of medical cannabis. And I believe that the drug laws of the last 50 years have led to millions and millions of men and women serving prison sentences that never should have happened, and millions of 20-year-olds forming friendships that never should have happened. And Doug and I became weed buddies, a role which required that I be passive and selfish, which were really the two tent poles of my cringeworthy 20s. And Doug wasn't a terrible person. He had his issues. First, he claimed that he had no memory of being a bully in high school. And he was flabbergasted when I would bring up certain specifics or other high school friends of mine would share their memories. I mean, he just couldn't believe this had ever happened. And you know, it was only 7 years ago. I mean, so there was something fishy there. He was also a know-it-all and an avid hobbyist. So I sat through any number of lectures about his camera and his turntable and his transmission. And that got wearying. But like my pet peeve, the thing that really drove me batty was that he had this ability to start and kill a conversation with the same sentence. And we'd be like walking along the beach and he would say, your stride is even with mine until we go uphill and then it lengthens. You know, what am I supposed to do with that? I mean, how do you bounce the ball back? You know, cool. Let's see who has the bigger hand. You know, so eventually, his girlfriend, Ruth, moved in with him. Ruth was very sweet, very much on the timid side. And she always had this half smile that was kind of pained and embarrassed. I mean, she was only 25, but it was like she was auditioning for the role of a long-suffering spouse. And Doug would boss her around and make jokes at her expense. And so we double dated a lot, Doug and Ruth and me and Doug's weed. And one day they told me that they were going to take a road trip to New Mexico and visit Ruth's parents, who lived in Pewaukee, a little town outside of Santa Fe. And they'd love it if I came along. And so I checked my passive selfish playbook and said yes, but I didn't want to drive. And so we went to Pewaukee. And Ruth's parents were delightful. Her dad was a retired nuclear physicist who had worked at Los Alamos for many years. And her mom was a minister, a very energetic, upbeat woman. She had just had complicated surgery on her wrist, and it was heavily bandaged. But that was not going to get in the way of her having fun with her daughter and her daughter's friends. And she wanted to lead us on various adventures. And so one day, one morning, she took us to the top of her favorite mesa to see the sunrise. And driving out there, Doug was, had his camera and was telling us how he'd bought this $600 telephoto lens and hadn't used it yet. He was waiting for the right time, and this would be it because of the vista and the natural light and blah, blah, blah. And so we get there, and we hike to the top of the mesa. And it's mid-March, and there's snow everywhere on top. And now here's what happened. Doug made a snowball, and he cocked his arm and advanced on Ruth, who started to cower. There was nowhere to hide because we were on a flat mesa. And she's cowering and, just begging him not to do it. And he brings his arm all the way back, and he's got that sadistic gleam in his eye, which I remember from high school. And then suddenly he gets this smirk, this, you guys are going to think this is hilarious smirk. And he pivots and throws the snowball at Ruth's mom instead, nailing her right on the wrist. And she shrieks with pain. And Ruth immediately overcomes her timidity with a flash of, that's my mama, you asshole, packs together a snowball very quickly, hurls it at Doug, and nails him right in the $600 telephoto lens. He screams in fury. The mom is still howling in agony. Ruth bursts into tears, and I'm standing there wondering, how did I get caught in the middle of this Three Stooges movie? Well, the drive back to California was seven parts stony silence and three parts bitter argument. And I'm in the back seat coming to grips with the fact that for the first time in my life, I'm going to have to break up with a guy. And about a week or two later, I write a Dear Doug letter. And it's very hard. And I tell him I wasn't being true to myself, and I wasn't being honest with him. And I'm sorry that this is not the kind of friendship I want in my life, and goodbye. And a few days later, I get a letter from him telling me that, he was saddened by my letter and he'd like to offer some constructive character criticism. And told me that, I use people. And 6 months later, I got another letter from him, just one sentence. It said, "Dear Mike, would you like to give friendship another try?" And I didn't respond. And Doug is the reason I don't sign up for Facebook. Partially because, I'm nervous that he'll find me and then want to tell me all about his 3D printer or whatever. But in part because I guess I don't see a big difference between a weed buddy and a Facebook friend. I mean, it's like you're kind of swapping one buzz for another. You're not trying to get high all the time. You're trying to get liked all the time. But here's the real thing. Once you unfriend somebody the old-fashioned way, before technology, you don't ever want to go down that road again.